Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. At Heralds of Hope, we believe that true and lasting hope is found only in God the Creator. He is revealed to us in the Word of God, the Bible. It's our privilege to come to you each week with a message based on God's holy word, a message that reveals the truth of God to us. One reason we have confidence in the Word of God is this: the change it brings about in the lives of those who accept it and live out its commands. In other words, God's Word, empowered by His Holy Spirit, helps you and me to do what is right. On our own, we're not capable of doing that. Now, maybe like me, the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, showed you some sin in your life, and you tried to change your behavior through sheer willpower. You said, "I've made up my mind. I will never do that again," only to discover a short time later that you were engaging in the same sinful behavior. Willpower might work for a little while, but then soon we fall back into our sinful patterns. So what is the secret to doing what is right? Would you like to know? Well, I hope you can stay tuned, because here now is Dr. Yoder with today's teaching, Do What Is Right.
Friend, nothing is as important as your personal relationship with God, the true God. Do you really know Him? I want to help you find Him. So I want to discuss with you this very exciting and helpful idea. Do what is right. It seems for many people right and wrong are simply convenient expressions. Such persons have little to base their conclusions on. The decision of right and wrong is often made simply on the basis of whatever pleases them. So they do what they want to do. But the definition of right and wrong is far more serious than that, and far more clear. You see, the Bible sets forth the standards of right and wrong. That is the reason why I always read from the Bible on this program. That is why I urge you to open your Bible and follow me as I read. But as I say, for many people, right and wrong are only convenient terms. The reason for that is they have never sought out actually what are the basic standards on which we can make proper judgments. And then, because men are depraved, they seek out and do wrong. By the word depraved, we mean they do not think straight. They have no basis from which they can think straight. I'm glad to tell you that the Bible sets forth the standards of right. I'd like to read the passage now from John's Gospel, which helps us to understand how to do what is right. Turn to John 2, 13 to 25. That's John 2, 13 to 25. And the Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers sitting there. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, also the sheep and the oxen, and he poured out the money changers' money and overthrew the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, "Take these things away from here. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise." And his disciples remembered that it was written, "The zeal of thy house has eaten me up." Then the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign do you show us since you do these things?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then the Jews said, This temple was 46 years building, and will you rear it up in 3 days? But he spoke of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now, when Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them, because he knew all men, and did not need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Do what is right. From this experience I bring forth several commands that should point us to the right way. First is, clean up. When Jesus came to the temple of God, that holy place where God had said he would put his name, he found it polluted. He found that men were there selling oxen, sheep, and doves, and changing money. Here in the holy place, the place which had been set aside for the worship of God. It was the place where his presence was evident, for in the days of Solomon, the glory of God had come and filled the temple. But in this case, Jesus found these people selling oxen and sheep and doves and making a business out of it, and he condemned them. He said, "Take these things from here." There is another consideration that we must not overlook in this cleanup program Jesus undertook. Let me tell you, godliness is the most important. Jesus drove out the cattle in order to re-establish the proper order of divine worship in the house of God. Yes, form is important, but godliness is more important. That is what Jesus is teaching us, how to do right. The second command I bring to you is, speak up. After this experience of cleaning up the temple, people were affected by it, and they came and asked Jesus a proper question. They said, "What sign do you show us, seeing that you are doing these things? How is it that you act so? You must have some kind of authority that you have done these things." For them, a sign or a miracle would be the proper proof. Miracles had accompanied the prophets of old, such as Moses and Elijah. Their question was therefore a proper question, and he gave them a very probing answer. Here is the sign. He said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." It was a probing and rather puzzling answer. They immediately thought of the temple where they were. They said, "This temple has been in construction for 46 years. Yet, how do you propose to raise it up in 3 days? Well, you see, this was a misunderstanding of his intention, because we are informed here that instead of referring to the physical temple which Herod had built, Jesus was referring to his body. He was making a prediction as to how he was going to be crucified and how he would rise from the dead after 3 days. This became clear to the disciples after his resurrection. They saw that his comment had to do with his body, not with the temple of stone where they had gathered. I'd like to point out to you that the way Jesus spoke up would help you do right, because implied in his statement is the importance of belief. You must believe in him, even if you can't see any sign or miracle. The third command I want to point out to you is, open up. Jesus was present there at the Passover. Many who saw his miracles believed on him. The Passover feast for the Jewish people was, and is, a time commemorating their deliverance from the land of Egypt under the hand of Moses many years ago. Jesus was there in the city of Jerusalem, observing this memorial feast of deliverance. Many who saw him and saw the miracles that he performed, believed in him. They opened up their faith in him. Then we note that Jesus knew all men. In other words, even those who tried to hide really couldn't, because Jesus knew all men. He had no necessity that anybody should testify to him of man, for he knew what was in man. Therefore, nothing was possible to hide from him. But some will try to hide from Jesus even today. But that is impossible. When he was here, he knew all men. Surely now, after his resurrection, he would have knowledge of everybody. He has knowledge of you. You may try to hide, but you really can't. This kind of knowledge is important. That is the knowledge that he knows who you are and where you were. Doesn't that help you do right? Do right. But you ask me, how shall I do that? Well, first, clean up, and he will do it. Like he cleaned up the temple, he will clean you up. Speak up. Let him tell you what he wants you to know, and then open up, because he knows you anyway. Now that's quite simple, isn't it? Clean up, speak up, and open up. Then you'll be able to do what is right.
Thank you, Dr. Yoder, for teaching us from this portion of Holy Scripture. It wasn't a pleasant scene, was it, my friend? Jesus was confrontational. He confronted those religious leaders with the error of their ways. He criticized them sharply for transforming his house of prayer into a den of thieves. That's not exactly the way to win friends, is it? But Jesus was concerned that these men, by their actions, were preventing the common people from meeting God in their place of worship. Now today, you and I don't need to go to a temple or a mosque or any other special building to worship God. We can worship God alone, we can worship him as a family, or as a group of God's children meeting under a tree or in someone else's house. And we don't need to bring money or an animal sacrifice to worship. No, Jesus said that his Father is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. So let me urge you to do that today. You won't be disappointed. My friend, were you blessed by this teaching by Dr. Yoder? If so, you can request an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching. Just request it by its title, Do What Is Right. The quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. That's mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, Do What Is Right. I'd be happy to send one to you. Once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, Do What Is Right. It's available in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime at the website, twr360.org. That's twr360.org. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study in John's Gospel. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.